in the Seagram's block of Oshawa, Ontario. I'm an idol.
Don't be scared, homie. Come on.
Okay, first of all, the world is smiling at you. The wrestling business is smiling at you. And don't you frown back on it.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker. The king is back.
The man to hour, the man with the power. Too sweet to be sour.
Dylan Bowker.
All right, on this episode of Bout Talking Bouts, I am talking to Shane Campbell. Has a big fight coming up with Stephen Beaumont going at Unified 33. It is a title defense of the lightweight belt and is going on May 11th. How's it going there, Shane?
It's going great. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, that's good to hear. And I was just wondering your thoughts on this fight coming up here because it's going to be a rematch for you, one that you got a submission win in. You defeated Stephen Beaumont at AFC 14. So I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are heading into a rematch. Does the mentality differ at all heading into a bout where you're, you know, fighting a similar opponent again at all?
Well, I mean, that fight was a long time ago, so a lot has changed since then. I'm pretty sure we've both grown quite a bit. I'm a more mature fighter. I'm going into every fight with a more evolved attitude.
Yeah, it's all about that Shaolin kind of spirit, eh? Just sort of living up to the nickname there.
Of course. I mean, I don't try to, but that's just the way it is. Yeah.
No. Sorry, I didn't mean to seem like it was like a contrived thing for you to have that sort of like spirit or whatever. But no, it's good to have that sort of mentality heading into a certain situation like that. But I'm kind of curious your thoughts heading into this after, you know, the Edmonton combat sports moratorium. It seemed like it was like a pretty, you know, rough thing on you. I understand you lost like a fair bit of money being, you know, involved with that whole thing, getting closer towards the fight and everything like that. So I'm just kind of curious if you've, you know, managed to, I guess, to recover the degree of, like, I guess, monetary loss you had, but also, you know, if your mentality is sort of like back to, I guess, where it should be.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually a kind of a trifecta of things. There was the moratorium, but I also had quit my I quit my job that morning, and then the afternoon the moratorium news broke, and so it was kind of that, as well as I actually was a little bit injured right around that time as well. So all that together, but no, I'm back 100%. I mean, in every aspect, I've moved to Vancouver. I have a couple side jobs in case anything goes wrong, but I'm teaching at a couple gyms there, and I'm running my own program, so things are going really well now.
Okay, so are you planning to, I guess, stay Vancouver long-term now, or would you, I guess, see yourself going back to Edmonton at some point in the future, being that the combat sports moratorium is kind of wrapped up in Edmonton now?
I believe I'm a fighter that should be on a world stage, and I have, moved to Vancouver right now. I'm starting my own Shaolin system and a program that'll be running. I haven't quite sealed out the dates yet, but either a 3 to 6 month more intensive course, kind of like almost like a boot camp, really preparing a fighter for everything that he may need in kind of a condensed time frame, with a checklist and making sure we really solidify a Shaolin type warrior.
Oh, that's cool. How long have you been, I guess, working on this project? Like, how long has this evolved?
About 13 years.
That's really cool.
I mean, my entire life has been building, my entire fight career has been building towards my system, and I feel I've really dialed it in more now, and I'm ready to kind of make that step in a coaching aspect now.
Yeah, and I was wondering about the coaching aspects, too. I'm curious as to how that informs your own efforts as a fighter, because I imagine trying to teach techniques to people and articulate some of these concepts out loud, I'm sure you're piecing things together for yourself that are just, you know, making your game all that better and just taking it to that next level.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting from a coaching perspective. You do actually learn as a fighter and grow as a fighter quite a bit, even in coaching. You find a way to, or you don't find a way, but it just kind of happens that you spot things that you wouldn't otherwise spot, right? You're looking at it from a different perspective, and it's really eye-opening of coaching, and I love that aspect. I always have for as long as I've been doing it.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And, I mean, you've had quite a win streak going on lately, three wins after that, you know, three-fight losing skid in the UFC there. So I'm kind of curious what your ideal next step would be if you get a big victory over, you know, Stephen Beaumont here coming up. Would you like to go back to the UFC ideally, or is there, you know, promotional interest for organizations like, I don't know, like ONE Championship or ACB? Like, are you dead set on going back to UFC, or is there an element of, like, you maybe want to, you know, go to some other promotion as well?
Well, right now I'm a free agent. I mean, otherwise defending my regional belts here. But, I mean, obviously, I'm a fighter that loves to fight. So if someone's willing to pay me some good money to put on a show that they know I can, I mean, throwing street fighter moves and finishing, you know, a high percentage of my fights, the draw is there. So I'm open to offers, but I'm not. I'm kind of working towards the coaching aspect, and really excited to starting up the system and having a consistent class running.
That's interesting. So, I mean, as much as you're continuing your competitive professional MMA career, there's like a real strong amount of focus on the coaching aspect and just really refining that there, right?
Yeah, 100%. In the last while, I've had a lot of injuries, and they just kind of really slow me down. And in that time of slowdown, you know, if you're not super busy, you end up getting depressed, and it's not good. So better to have my time really consumed and always moving forward. If not with the fighting, most definitely as the coaching.
Yeah, and it also sounds like a long-term play as well. Like, it sounds like you're making a plan for when your fighting career does wrap up sometime down the line. So, I mean, that's smart. Not a lot of fighters, you know, do that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no, it's all good, because sometimes, yeah, people can, you know, get themselves in that position, and, like, the pro career wraps up, and unfortunately certain fighters maybe don't have that, like, next thing to go to. But it seems like you're, you know, putting in that work, and you have that foresight. But you mentioned the injuries there, and I noticed you have a passion for industrial hemp and certain things like that, and you go to certain cannabis expos and whatnot. I'm wondering if maybe you indulge in, like, CBD or something like that for a certain pain. Do you have any regime like that sort of thing, or regimen?
Not as much of a regimen. I mean, I'm only kind of breaking the surface on it myself. I'm trying to learn as much as I can, but it's 100% proven the benefits of CBD. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think we all know that front. But I'm also constantly learning about everything I can neurologically for, you know, in the case of I do take some head trauma, I want to know how to heal myself as quick as possible. In the future, if it goes down that way.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like you check out things just outside the realm of fighting as well, like just things related to economics and leadership. Like, it seems like you really enjoy just checking out certain podcasts and, you know, books in that kind of similar vein. So, you know, it's good to go outside of, like, your immediate sphere of expertise, I guess. It probably informs what you're doing as a fighter and, I guess, just martial artist in general, right?
Yeah, 100%. I have a thirst for knowledge, but I really think all those things directly are related to fighting, and more so as a coach, I guess, but most definitely as a fighting in a lot of aspects. They all kind of relate, I guess you could say, cross-training.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I
got it. In the case of understanding neurology and better, if I get concussions, how to heal myself, I mean, that's directly related. And the CBD as well, that's all directly related. I mean, if you want to be a high-end athlete, you have to have a body that can carry you. And healing that body is pretty much a fighter's number one goal and priority and really job.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of moving parts to the game, so it's good to, you know, just figure out as much as you can about it, for sure.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, but you kind of touched on the Street Fighter thing a little bit earlier there with that World Series of Fighting 18 card that you competed on there against Derek Boyle. Did you notice, like, a lot more, I guess, like, attention being given to you after that kind of broke out there? Like, just people outside the fighting sphere, I guess, like, reaching out to you or becoming fans of you? And it's like, oh, this guy's kind of cool. He's, like, doing a Hadouken in the cage sort of thing.
I think I never really got the credit as much. I didn't, at the time, I didn't have very much, I didn't have a very good social media presence. And when they've got, you know, when, when it went viral and got millions of views in a few days, my name wasn't really tagged on it. So a lot of people didn't know who it was. It was just MMA guy throws Hadouken. So that was one thing I was lacking at the time, a social media presence. And, you know, I built on that a little bit. It's still definitely not my strong suit. But like you said, there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, the social media is kind of an underrated aspect of that whole thing as well. But an area of expertise you certainly have is in the Muay Thai realm. I mean, just like so many championships and over 70 professional Muay Thai bouts from what I saw listed there. But I also saw, you know, you're developing in your jiu-jitsu game always. I believe I saw you were at a purple belt level. So I'm kind of curious. I mean, you're very proficient and seasoned as a Muay Thai practitioner, obviously. But is there a tremendous amount of excitement that goes into, you know, the whole jiu-jitsu thing? I mean, it's not relatively new. I mean, you're a purple belt, so that's like a big accomplishment in itself. But is there an aspect of just being excited to, you know, develop and thrive in an area that you're, I guess, not as informed in comparatively?
Always. I don't think I'll ever stop being a student, so I enjoy that. But the jiu-jitsu world is directly relates to MMA, and you know what I mean, that's kind of where my career that or kickboxing or Muay Thai is definitely where my career is, and I want it to be in the next 5 years, at least. So they all, you know, there's definitely a need for that to really reach my ultimate goal.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if you really feel like you're putting things together just like in between, because that's the cool thing with MMA nowadays. It's not like broken down so much as like, oh, it's a striker taking on a grappler now. It's like MMA is its own discipline, and it's all about just like being fluid, you know, between the disciplines there. And I mean, I was covering your last fight there where you competed against Mike Scarcello, and I mean, I kind of saw that same fluidity there with the striking combined with the submission aspects there. So what were your thoughts on your last fight there, and what are your thoughts on, I guess, my sentiment of like you, I guess, you know, bridging the disciplines together fluidly?
Yeah, I mean, what was the question?
Oh, no, I mean, I was just asking you about, like, what your thoughts on your last performance were in as far as, like, just fluidly, like, bridging the disciplines together, because there was a fair bit of striking you utilized en route to getting a submission finish there.
I'd like to be striking quite a bit more. I want to start to get back to, like, showcasing that, if I can, quite a bit more. I'm most definitely putting things together in the transitions of MMA and doing a lot of wrestling as well as jiu-jitsu helps that.
Right on. Do you have a certain amount of confidence from that last fight that you think is going to, I guess, lead you into like a better performance against Stephen Beaumont here? Or do you compartmentalize fights as just separate things and you don't really allow for that kind of momentum to creep in your head, I guess?
Well, that momentum definitely helps, but I try not to let it creep in. I try to just every fight as its own, and I mean, it really is. Anything can happen in that night. I mean, on many fronts. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, you got to be prepared for whatever could happen there, I guess. And I noticed you had a past training with quite a few decorated individuals, one of them being Jose Aldo, but also looks like you have a bit of a past with, you know, Team Alpha Male and TriStar Gym there. But I'm wondering, for this specific camp here, who are the people you've really been putting in that work with, like specific sparring partners and whatnot?
Well, I never really made my way to TriStar or nothing, but I have trained with Rory out of Tushito quite a bit there, so...
Okay, so it's one of those things, you trained with a TriStar product at a different gym sort of thing, right?
Yeah. But now, more recently, I've been putting a lot of work in at Revolution. I ended up going to Bangkok for 1FC to corner Bibby and Opananda.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
That was a huge thing. And this year, one of my, New Year's resolutions was to better surround myself with like-minded people, and I was able to be in the training camp of Rory McDonald ahead of his fight back in December. I was training with him there, and I mean, a little bit of time with Josh Johnsey and Bibiano Fernandez. So I feel I've really started accomplishing that early in this year. And, you know, being around killers like that, I want to carry the second half of this year really strongly in my own fights.
No, I mean, you're training with some great practitioners there. So, I mean, you can only reap the benefits from that for sure. And I mean, do you have any specific goals for the remainder of the year then? I mean, you kind of articulated that those guys were, I guess, like putting in that work. Like, do you have specific goals for the year, or is it kind of just like see which fights pop up and kind of navigate from there?
No, I've been talking with a few different promotions, but like I said, every fight kind of is its own thing. So a lot can happen. I'm gonna have this fight and wait till the next Monday and make a decision then, or at least just worry about making a decision then. I'm going to take this fight as before I make any other sort of game plans.
Yeah, no, that's cool. It's better to have like a calculated approach about it, but it seems like there's some big things coming up there. But I was curious what music you like to jam to while you're training, like what gets you, I guess, in the right mindset for putting in that work.
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of motivational stuff, even speeches, motivational speeches, but while I'm training, but probably some techno and some older school rap, Busta Rhymes and Eminem and AC/DC and that kind of thing.
Okay, that's cool. That sounds like a good mixture of different stuff that gets you fired up.
Yeah.
You're kind of a guy that likes everything, right? Like, you're not like too negative about any genre necessarily. You're sort of good with whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, exactly. I don't listen to a few genres, but I don't hate on any of them, so.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to be, but you've been really good with your time. Is there anything you want to add as we're wrapping up here?
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to be starting my system in Richmond at a gym, National MMA Academy, South Richmond. Check out my social media, any of the Shane Shaolin Campbell, for the most part on all of it, or Twitter, Shaolin Style MMA. Yeah, big shout out to VIP Clothing and Kinko's here in Edmonton for holding it down. Great tire shop, they're opening up their second location just this next month, so check them out, tell them Shane sent you, and yeah, thank you for your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for your insights, man. Ahead of a big fight here against Stephen Beaumont in co-main event. People can check it out at River Cree Resort and Casino, but if they're not in the immediate area, they can check it out over at Fight TV. Going to be a big one going on May 11th. Again, thanks for your time, man, and best of luck in the training camp coming up here, and have a good rest of your day.
Thanks. Take care.